Okay. Even my dog is here for the talk. Today, Jesus gave us a teaching on prayer. He said, I have come to you today as your Jesus, born incarnate. I wish today to teach you about prayer. Prayer is a refuge, a weapon, and a means of unification, creature to creator. The more the soul surrenders his own will to the will of God, the deeper his union through prayer. Surrender then your plans, your choices, your desires. No good comes to you except through God. In this surrender, you are engaging all the virtues, faith, hope, love, humility, simplicity, meekness, and trust. Prayer is communication with God, either in the heart, on the lips, or through any action that is surrendered to the divine will. My mother prays with you when you pray the rosary. Her heart is a channel through which your prayers ascend to heaven, and grace passes back down to you. Her heart is a connection then to God and God's grace, just as you would connect an electric light to currents. God receives the sacrifice of prayer and uses it as a sword against evil. He changes the prayer into grace that overcomes evil in hearts. Then see, it is Satan that tries to keep you from praying. It is Satan that embattles your heart and tries to keep you away from surrendering your will so that you can pray. Think of prayer as a sunbeam. Its ray stretches down from heaven. It nourishes the lilies and flowers. It royally clothes them in light. Thus arrayed, they bloom and their beauty gives glory to God. The soul that surrenders to prayer much also becomes beautiful in God's eyes and gives glory to God. I have told you, my confidant, that prayer is a surrender and a sacrifice, but the soul must also accept the way prayers are answered. The little flower receives what it needs for salvation. In humility, he must accept God's will. If the Father knows what the little flower needs, does he not know your needs as well? Accept what he sends you in humility and gratefulness, like the little flower dancing in the sunlight. I am pleased with any prayer. Most of all, I am pleased with sincere prayer from the heart. This kind of prayer changes people and events. I, your Jesus, love the prayer of the Mass the most. Then I love the Rosary. Follow me in prayer. I will lead you. Oops. Okay, I had some references on prayer tonight that I wanted to go over. The first one is from Divine Intimacy, and it's the chapter on apostolic prayer. When Jesus died on the cross for us, the redemption of mankind became an accomplished fact. Therefore, everyone coming into this world is already redeemed, in the sense that the precious blood of Jesus has already merited for him all the graces necessary for his salvation and also for his sanctification. What still remains to be done is the application of these graces to each individual soul. And it is for this that God wishes our collaboration. He wants it so much that he has made the granting of certain graces necessary for our salvation and that of others dependent upon our prayers. In other words, by the merits of Jesus' grace, God's infinite mercy is ready to be poured out abundantly into men's souls, but it will not be poured out unless there is someone who raises supplicating hands to heaven, asking for it. If prayer does not ascend to the throne of the Most High, grace will not be granted. This explains the absolute necessity for apostolic prayer and its great efficacy. This kind, and it has in parentheses, of devil is not cast out but by prayer and fasting, Jesus has said. There is no substitute for prayer because prayer draws grace directly from its source, God. Our activity, our words and works can prepare the ground for grace. But if we do not pray, it will not come down to refresh souls. In the light of these truths, we can better appreciate the importance of the insistent exhortations of Jesus in respect to prayer. We ought always to pray and not to faint. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. We can never be certain that all our prayers will be answered according to our expectation, for we do not know if what we ask is conformable to God's will. But when it is a question of apostolic prayer, which asks for grace and the salvation of souls, it is a very different matter. In fact, when we pray for the aims of the apostolate, we are fitting into the plan prearranged by God himself from all eternity. That plan for the salvation of all men, which God desires to put into action, infinitely more than we do. Therefore, we cannot doubt the efficacy of our prayer. Because of this effectiveness, apostolic prayer is one of the most powerful means of furthering the apostolate. If God has willed the distribution of grace in the world to depend on the prayers of men, and if people today pray so little, many indeed and perhaps most of them not at all, it is extremely necessary to have in the church souls who are totally consecrated to prayer. By their lives of continual prayer, adoration, and unceasing praise to the Most High, these souls supply for the negligence and carelessness of many, and thus they reestablish in the world the balance between God's rights and man's duty, between action and contemplation. Praying and supplicating for all, they are in Christ's mystical body, the hidden but precious organs whose task it is to make the sap of divine grace flow to each of its members. In the church, they are powerhouses of supernatural energy, energy derived from and accumulated by prayer, and diffused by it to the utmost bounds of the earth. The prayer of contemplatives is the secret and guarantee of victory for those who struggle in the world. Even as the prayer of Moses was the secret and guarantee of victory for Israel, my brothers, labor in my stead, wrote St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, while I stay close to the throne and love thee for all those who are in strife. And now I have a few little readings from A Year with the Saints. This reading is from St. John Chrysostom. Prayer, well made, gives much pleasure to the angels, and therefore it is much assisted by them. It gives great displeasure to the devils, and therefore is much persecuted and disturbed by them. Okay, this is from St. Teresa. Whoever wishes to profit by prayers should not take account of spiritual consolations. I know by experience that the soul which has started on this road with a full determination not to consider whether the Lord gives or denies him consolations and tenderness and really acts on this determination has already made a great part of the journey. This is from St. Teresa always. The whole aim of whoever intends to give himself to prayer ought to be to labor, to resolve, to dispose himself with all possible diligence to conform his will to that of God. For in this consists all the highest perfection that can be acquired in the spiritual way. And then I just had a couple Bible quotes. Whoops, that's the wrong thing. That's on trust. Okay, this is on prayer. This is from St. Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. And then again in Matthew, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And this is from John, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son will bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And in the Psalms, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you with honor, and you will honor me. And in Isaiah, then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. And again in Psalms, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. And in Jeremiah, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Thank you very much, everybody. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you.